Good afternoon. May it please the court. Chris McClain, registration number 37891, hearing today on behalf of the appellant, Stephen Martins. And just for clarity in this argument today, I will be referring to Mr. Martins as husband and Palma Martins as the wife. The matter before the court today concerns husband's appeal of the district court's orders in a maintenance modification proceeding pursuant to 1410.122. The party's marriage was dissolved by the court on May 13, 2005. Neither party was represented by counsel during the dissolution process. The decree of dissolution incorporated into it a separation agreement signed by the pro se parties, which required husband to pay wife $2,000 per month in maintenance for a period of 10 years. At that time, wife was unemployed and husband earned approximately $48,000 per year. Then on November 5th, 2009, husband filed a motion to terminate his maintenance obligation to wife based upon a substantial and continuing change in circumstances that made the previous award of maintenance unfair. The trial court then held a hearing on husband's motion on January 18th, 2011, and found that husband had in fact incurred a substantial and continuing change in circumstances, but that he had only met his burden in part in showing that the maintenance award of $2,000 per month had become unfair. The trial court then ordered a downward modification of maintenance to $1,200 per month rather than $2,000 per month. The trial court did not make any finding that the $1,200 per month award was fair. The trial court ordered husband to pay $26,000 in arrears to wife based solely upon wife's testimony and ordered that the arrears were to be paid over a 24-month period in equal installments.
Mr. McClain, irrespective of whether the trial court made a finding regarding fairness, was there testimony presented that indicated what his ability was to pay or not, whether he was able or unable to pay that amount?
Husband testified as to his income. I don't know that there was testimony directly related to his ability to pay the arrears. Are we talking the arrears or the modified amount?
Both.
Okay. Yes, husband testified as to his current income, how his jobs have been sporadic. The trial court did make a finding that husband's current income was $19,000 per year. And it did base its order off of that finding.
But it didn't find what his personal expenses were in connection with that?
I don't think the court considered those.
Okay.
His gross income was $19,000 per year.
You may proceed on.
Okay. And then the trial court also ordered husband to notify wife of any change in his employment. The first question I present to the court today, in a maintenance modification proceeding, should a party's voluntary unemployment be considered in assessing the fairness of an award of maintenance? The analysis begins with Section 1410.122.1A, which provides, maintenance may only be modified as to installments accruing subsequent to the motion for modification and only upon a showing of changed circumstances so substantial and continuing as to make the terms unfair. Then referring to the Cindy Sin case, and I believe opposing counsel also cited the LeBlanc case, Colorado law is clear, but either way, in determining whether a maintenance award has become unfair or unconscionable, the trial court must consider and apply the pertinent criteria set forth in Section 1410.114. That's the Colorado maintenance statute. In looking at the maintenance statute, 1410.114, the first factor that it points out in 4A, the financial resources of the party seeking maintenance, including marital property apportioned to each such party, and the party's ability to meet his or her needs independently. The first part of that I would like to point out is the party's ability to meet his or her needs independently. The statute does not require that the party actually be making income, but it does refer to the ability. And I would argue that that does bring in the voluntary unemployment doctrine. Second, the first part of that sentence, the financial resources of the party. Well, the statute doesn't exactly say what financial resources are, but A party's earning potential is in fact a financial resource that must be considered. I think guidance on this issue is given by Colorado's child support statute, which is quite similar to the maintenance statute. If you look at section 1410.115.2, it lists the factors that the court must consider in determining child support. One of the considerations is the financial resources of the parents, just as set forth in the maintenance statute. The statute goes on to explain then exactly what financial resources are, and one of the key components, each party's income. And then a further reading of that statute defines income as the actual gross income of a parent if employed to full capacity, or potential income if unemployed or underemployed.
Now, counsel, I don't recall seeing in your briefing any case law cited that requires the court, when it's considering permanent maintenance, to take into account underemployment.
And I was unable to find any case law. I believe this is a new issue before the court.
So you're asking us to extend the statutory language from the child support statute into the permanent maintenance statute?
Well, not necessarily. I think the child support statute just gives guidance, but the maintenance statute does require the court to consider and apply the financial resources and the party's ability to meet his or her needs. I don't know that the courts have gone that far to read that into the statute, but I believe the statute is quite clear in that it does require the court to consider the party's ability to meet his or her needs, which would in fact cause the court to have to consider voluntary unemployment in this case.
Well, is it possible that the magistrate did consider that but wasn't required to make a finding about it?
It was presented to the magistrate. If I recall, she did not make any findings as to the wife's ability to work. The magistrate did talk about she did have some disabilities. I believe the testimony called into question wife's disabilities, enough so that I think the court should have at least had to consider whether she was voluntarily unemployed.
Kind of hard to get Social Security disability income, isn't it?
Well, it is hard to get, but then again, I believe there are also plenty of jobs that the wife would have been able to do that would not have been strenuous. The testimony by wife, she did volunteer as a firefighter. She performed numerous volunteer activities, but they weren't paid positions, so she didn't think that was relevant because she was not compensated in these positions, although she was able to perform duties.
Now, I noticed that the magistrate's order did not make a finding on 1410.114F, which is the ability of the spouse from whom maintenance is sought to meet his or her needs while meeting those of the spouse seeking maintenance. What's your take on that?
I would agree. The magistrate did find that husband had some ability to pay, but I think the clear reading of the statute requires the party's ability to pay, which means his ability to do the entire amount rather than to pay some or just a portion, as the magistrate found. So I don't think that she properly considered that factor as well.
Couldn't that be cured by a limited remand to the trial court and then to the magistrate to make a finding on that issue?
That issue, as far as paragraph F, I think so. But I think it is also important that court be given instructions to consider voluntary unemployment in this case.
Anyone ask the court to make a finding on voluntary unemployment in the court below?
I believe so, and I know it was in the petition for judicial review of the magistrate's order. And that was kind of the crux of the argument to the district judge.
Well, the argument was that the magistrate hadn't made a finding
right. In
the absence of a request. And so if the parties are urging voluntary unemployment, isn't it incumbent upon them to ask the court to address that issue during the proceedings, make an argument, ask for a finding, that sort of thing?
Well, I think given the language of 1410.114, that it does require the court to consider and apply the financial resources and the party's ability. I think that language right there is telling the court that it must consider whether the party is voluntarily unemployed. And then if a party is found to be voluntarily unemployed, the court is required to impute income to that party, and that's from People v. Martinez from the brief. The second question I would like to pose to the court today, should the court find a party voluntarily unemployed when the party has physical difficulties that make employment difficult, but that party fails to pursue treatment as recommended by her physician, and such treatment would likely lessen the difficulty with employment? Colorado defines voluntary unemployment as unreasonably foregoing higher paying employment that the party could obtain. That's from People v. Martinez. Wife is obviously foregoing higher paying employment that she could obtain, but is it unreasonable? So I would pose that the pivotal question would become, is it reasonable to disregard treatment prescribed by a treating physician? Wife testified that she has pursued so-called holistic treatments. She was concerned that she may become addicted to drugs. She didn't want to become an addict. I would also like to point out that she did not present any evidence at trial that the treatments presented by her physician were in fact addicting. She didn't give any basis why she thought she may become addicted. But most importantly, she has pursued these holistic treatments for several years with no improvement in her symptoms by her own testimony. I believe that a reasonable and prudent person would have at least attempted the treatments prescribed by the physician if the pain were severe enough to preclude employment, as she does claim. Wife's inability to work is premised upon her having pain resulting from her disabilities. If wife were to follow her physician's advice and treat her symptoms properly, it is likely that the pain would be lessened and that wife would not have any trouble finding and obtaining employment. But because wife fails to take reasonable steps to control her pain, she claims that the pain is too severe to work. I would post to the court that wife is voluntarily unemployed by definition. Wife is unreasonably foregoing employment by refusing to take reasonable steps prescribed by her physician to alleviate her pain, which would allow her to obtain full-time employment. And the final issue I would like to put before the court today is an order setting forth payment terms for retroactive maintenance subject to the FAIR standard. Sin requires that any maintenance award must be fair and equitable. This should apply to any orders regarding maintenance arrearage payments as well as the current support order. The trial court found that husband owed wife $26,000 in arrears for maintenance, ordered that he pay it in equal installments over 24 months. The court's order imposed an arrears payment of $1,083 per month, in addition to the current modified support order of $1,200 per month, which made husband's total obligation to wife $2,283. And the court also made a finding that husband's income was $19,000 a year. Well, this total maintenance payment that husband was ordered to pay to wife, arrears, and current is 144% of husband's gross income. It's unconscionable that the court would order the husband to pay 144% of his gross income and maintenance to wife each month.
So what happens to the arrearages? It just disappears?
No, the court entered arrears for $26,000 at the time of hearing.
Right. And if I'm understanding your argument, maybe I'm not, is that because that combined with the reduced maintenance order would be a certain percentage of the income, that it's an abuse of discretion or shouldn't be ordered?
Well, I believe it shouldn't be ordered on the payment terms. It's clear law in Colorado that when the support payment becomes due, it is a judgment.
And it's immediately payable, right?
Yes. You can do that by writ of execution, writ of garnishment, but there are statutory safeguards, such as withholding limits on garnishments. You can claim exemptions. but husband was deprived of that right by this order. He is not subject to those statutory safeguards, but he's ordered to pay this. He's not going to have, even if he paid every penny that he has, he would be unable to meet this obligation. And I see that my time is up. Thank you.
May it please the court, Jason Bailey, registration number 40953, and I represent the appellee, Palma Martins. There is no requirement that a trial court make a finding of voluntary unemployment in this or any other maintenance modification case. That's the issue that I intend to spend most of my time here on today. I'm happy to field any questions you may have about the other three issues raised by the appellant. But I will focus on the voluntary unemployment one. With regard to the facts as stated by my colleague, I would add only that Palma, the wife, was disabled in 2005 when the parties were divorced. There was no real change in her circumstances between 2005 and when the motion to modify was made in late 2009. If anything, her symptoms had only worsened, and therefore her prospects for employment had only worsened. I agree with my colleague that when determining what findings or considerations are required in a maintenance modification case, the starting place is 14-10-122, which is the modification statute. I would point out only with regard to that the law changed in the early 1990s. The standard is now a substantial and continuing change so as to make the earlier maintenance unfair. Earlier it was unconscionable, the importance being that you may see in earlier cases reference to an unconscionable standard. While that may seem like a large difference, I would suggest that it's really a relatively minor one. The unconscionable standard was judged by a reasonable, fair standard. And you see reference to that in the Inree Swing case, a recent case out of this Court of Appeals. The case law regarding maintenance modification doesn't make any explicit reference to a voluntary unemployment finding, with exception of the Swing case, which I'll discuss in a minute. What the cases generally do is they say there's a requirement that you consider all relevant considerations. You see that in the Sim v. Sim case, and I believe a reference to it again in the Inree Udis case, both 1980 cases out of our Supreme Court. But they don't give a concrete list of findings that must be made. They don't give a concrete list of considerations that must be made. But in the Sim case...
Counsel, are you suggesting that voluntary unemployment or underemployment would not be a relevant consideration for the trial court?
What I would suggest is that it's not a required consideration. I would suggest that it's not a mandatory finding or consideration. I do think that the trial courts are under at least a minimal obligation to consider, if not make findings as to, but to consider the factors laid out in 1410.114 sub 4. And you can see that through the Sim case, I think, is the first one that refers you to that. And I should point out that statute, 1410.114, was modified in 2001. The modification changed it in a way such that references to, 114 sub 1 and sub 2 were moved to 114 sub 3 and sub 4. So if you see references in case law prior to 2001, it says look at the factors in 114 1 or 2, they're really referring to 114 3 and 4. To your question, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Please do answer.
I believe that some of the considerations listed in that 114 sub 4
implicate issues like income, although they do not require a finding of income. But I would point out that the issue on appeal today is not whether or not there was clearly erroneous ruling and one implicating all the findings. I think the question is whether or not a finding, one specific finding, namely voluntary unemployment, is one that is required of trial courts when considering a maintenance modification.
I'll ask you the same question that I posed to your colleague, which is about the fact that there's no finding apparently made based on what 1410.114F, the ability of the spouse from whom maintenance is sought to meet his or her needs while meeting those of the spouse seeking maintenance. I didn't see anything in the magistrate's order about that. Can you address that, please?
Well, I guess I'd say two things. I think we could say that she considered the Stevens, the appellant's ability to pay. I don't think that the order, the written order, you're correct, Your Honor, does not contain a finding as to his ability to pay necessarily.
There's no requirement for a finding to be made as long as the court indicates somehow that it considered the factor?
I think that is an interesting question which this court could answer. The reason that I am cagey on that is I don't believe the courts have explicitly said as much. If you look at the Inri Udis case, an 80s case of this out of the Supreme Court, that was an issue that in part revolved around whether correct findings were made, whether the correct findings were made. And at one point, I think that case was remanded for further findings. But in Udis, which I think became Udis 2, the Supreme Court said, well, although the written order, the order coming out of the trial court that we have for our review is not as good as we would like it, we can tell by looking at the record that these things were considered. So they distinguished, I thought, between findings, written findings, and considerations.
I can assure you I looked in the record to see if the magistrate made any indication of having taken consideration of factor F, and she didn't mention it at all in her oral order or in her written order. So that's why I'm wondering if the magistrate gives no indication of having considered it, shouldn't we remand for a limited remand to see to have the court consider it?
In factor F, I'm sorry.
Factor F being the one I just read to you, the ability to for the maintenance payer, let's put that paying spouse, to meet his or her needs while also paying the maintenance to the other party.
I suppose I read the record differently than you, Your Honor. More generally, I am sure, in the fact, I thought that it was supported by the fact that she took into consideration that he was making truck payments, reflected some ability to make payments, as well as the fact that he was living with his parents and didn't have those sorts of other income obligations. I think other relevant factors or considerations that would go to that factor F would include things like his job experience, his prior work history. We know that in 2005, when the parties were divorced, he was in the oil and gas industry for a few years. Prior to that, he had 10 years of experience in the telecommunications industry, and before that, another 17 years of experience in the oil and gas industry again. So I think
I'm going to ask you: are you saying he's voluntarily underemployed?
Well, I don't think that's a consideration that the court needs to make. What I would point out, though, if the findings are lacking, I think the court certainly can remand and ask, please go back and make some findings, specifically, especially on the 114.4 issues. I don't think that this court has to, and the reason that I say that is not necessarily based on the order itself, but based on the issues that are appealed here. And it seems to me that because we are not here on an appeal based on an abuse of discretion, that we do not need to look back and see whether all of the findings were met. Where we are here really on an issue of whether or not one specific finding needs to be made, I don't know that we need to look to whether the other findings that we know are generally considered, I don't know that we need to look and see whether those were in fact made.
I would point out there is one case that has addressed this voluntary unemployment issue, at least in some dicta, and that would be the Emory Swing case. There, it was a fairly similar case in which there was a maintenance modification, and there the husband was paying the wife. The husband had a decrease in his employment, moved for a modification of maintenance, and was successful and had a modification. There, the wife, instead of the husband, there the wife appealed and alleged or argued that the court erred when it did not consider the husband to be voluntarily unemployed. And this court in 2008 cast some doubt as to whether a voluntary unemployment finding is necessary. They said whether the child support law should be applied by analogy in deciding to modify maintenance is questionable. The obligation to pay support to a former spouse is different from the obligation to pay child support. And we would agree with that reasoning. We don't think that the child support statute is analogous to the maintenance modification statute. I should point out that in Swing, the court went on and did consider. They said, well, we're going to question whether or not a voluntary unemployment finding is required, but we'll go ahead and consider it. And they found the husband in that case, was not voluntarily unemployed and went ahead and affirmed the judgment on that basis, or at least as to that part. We would ask that this court affirm the finding of the trial court. If a remand is made, we would ask for the specific considerations which this court would like the trial court to consider when it and if it makes further and more extensive written findings. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you to both counsel for your arguments and your briefing. We appreciate them.